Yeah, man, this is a sweet bill. It does suck because in the 80s, or I think it was the early 2000s, all those old Boston clubs, like those dives, turned into dunks, like Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. So the closest,
like the channel?
Yeah, the channel's gone. The Rathskeller, yeah, that's all gone. It's more Worcester now.
The channel's like gone, right?
I'm pretty sure. Down, yeah, right? Yeah, leveled. Yeah. So the closest thing we get to like find local talent is like shows like this, where like a local guy might get in the bill, uh-huh, you know. But yeah, man, super awesome for you to join me, Sean Killian, yeah, of Violence. This is awesome, man. Welcome to Boston.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Been hanging out since Tuesday.
Yeah.
Just waiting to get started. So.
Eat some lobster.
No, I haven't eaten lobster. Yeah. There's no price on.
How has it been playing with Exhorter? You've done a few dates with them already.
Yeah, we went to South America with them. It was 10 shows down there, including Mexico City, and they all went great. You know, they're a great group of guys. Good band, they got this great music, and the crowd really enjoys them, so it's a good package.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So how did this lineup come to be?
My lineup?
Yes, for this New England leg.
Yeah, so I'd have Christian here, but he broke the rod in his femur. He got in a motorcycle accident a while back, and he's got pins in his ankle and in his shin, and he has a rod in his femur, right down the middle of his femur bone. And that rod broke. He sat down on his bed and it broke. So it was getting wear and it just eventually gave way. So
out of all things, yeah, sitting on the bed.
Yeah, and he goes into surgery on Tuesday. Wow. So he'll be with us for the Body Count show in LA and the three festivals we have in Europe. But
that's going to be an excellent show at Body Count. That's-
and then Phil, you know, he's with Kerry King and... so I got Mario. He's a great guitar player. He's playing both Rob and Phil's leads, and he's the one guitar player who never needed to be shown how to play the songs. He figured it all out himself, you know.
Well, I'm excited to see him tonight, man.
Yeah, he's a shredder.
Very, very excited.
And then Jason with Exhorter, he's filling in for Christian for us on this tour.
Cool.
So 8 shows with him, and then we got Adrian on Aguilar on the drums. He's been with us for about a year.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent. Yeah. Now, Let the World Burn, that's been out 2 years.
Yeah, March 4th, I think it was, 2022.
I think it was 4th. Yeah. Yeah, excellent record.
Thank you.
It's been out 2 years. I know you had that whole thing, hey, let's just do EPs for now, because the stuff before is so massive.
Yeah.
It's built up this massive status. Let the World Burn is honestly gained a lot of traction within itself. Even on Spotify, some of the tracks have more listens to some tracks off Eternal Nightmare.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I never really looked at it.
looking back at it, do you still have that idea, like in the future, just having EPs?
Well, you know, it depends. Christian and I are going to be writing. Phil might contribute some. We'll see how it goes with him. But when I get back from this tour, you know, Christian and I, I'm going to go to the studio. I got some vocal tracks I want to put down to a quick track and then fill in with some guitar, you know, get the guitar riffs underneath the vocals, because it's always been the music and then I write lyrics on top of it.
Yeah.
So this time I got a lot of ideas in my head and I can go in with Juan Ortega what studios? Trident Studios, where we did the EP. He and I are good friends and spend some time in there with a quick track and record some vocals, multi-track it, so, and then send it to Christian, who's written some great stuff in his career.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have plenty of material in this day and age.
Yeah. There's plenty to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. So you've had quite a musical journey. You know, the first song you ever wrote was Eternal Nightmare.
Yeah.
Right?
First song I ever wrote.
How much do you feel your creative evolution has evolved?
Since then, a lot. I mean... I had a friend, Audrey, with me when I was writing those lyrics, just to bounce ideas around. And it's still kind of the same, that some songs, the lyrics come right out of me and some I got to really work on. Like Gato Negro, that took me a little while to figure out what I was going to theme it on. And, you know, so it's basically, loose, you know, it's kind of I listened to Edgar Allan Poe, Black Cat, and then I kind of wrote the lyrics along with that. But I didn't want to call it Black Cat, so they got the title Gato Negro. But some of the other songs, they came really easy. So
yeah.
But it's like a lot of the choruses, you know, are important, so
sure.
People get caught up in them. But you know, I wanted to be more aggressive and a little bit deeper. You know, a little bit more in control, because back then we were just out of control.
Well, definitely comes through with the writing for sure.
Yeah.
Now we're celebrating Eternal Nightmare, of course.
Yeah.
How do you reflect on the writing and recording process of that record?
Well, when I joined the band, I think we had like three songs I wrote lyrics for, but then two of them didn't wind up on the record. So this, we were writing more. Phil was bringing in riffs, and I was going home and writing lyrics over it. It was kind of a real, you know, like amateur process at the time, because we really didn't know, you know, what we just was trying to be heavier than everyone else in the Bay Area, you know, because there's a lot of competition that was going on at the time, healthy competition, but still.
Forbidden, of course.
Forbidden, Death yeah. Angel, you know. And then the beginning bands, Possessed, Exodus, you know, Legacy, which is now his Testament. And,
yeah.
You know, so a lot of, and then Slayer was coming up and Megadeth was coming up from SoCal, you know, to be in the Bay Area. But that second wave, we were very competitive, you know.
For sure. Yeah. Slayer might as well be a Bay Area band.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember the studio time and budget?
I think the budget for Eternal was $90,000, and we spent 7 weeks in the studio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just hammered it out.
Yeah.
Where today it's so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, you can spend like a whole, everyone has, what is it? Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Well, Christian's great at Pro Tools. He's like really good. Matter of fact, the Dead Kennedy song, California Uberalis, we recorded in our rehearsal studio. He tracked everyone and then he took it home and mixed it. And so what you hear is totally Christian's mix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Good.
How did you get signed to It's Mechanic Records for Eternal?
We had two record labels, Combat and Mechanics, and Steve, it was his new label. He had Atlantic Records backing him. He was really excited about the band. And so he had, I think, more, I can't remember how much more, but he had a lot more to invest. So, you know, stupid idiots. We should have stuck with Combat because they were more like our style of music, you know. They had Exodus and a lot of those bands that, but, you know, we went with Mechanics and, you know, it was cool until we submitted a Pressing the Masses to him. And he literally rewrote some lyrics that I submitted and
wow.
Called me on the phone at home. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, people want things grammatically correct. And he's like, rewrote some lyrics and you want to hear them. I'm all, oh, hell yeah, I want to hear that. And as soon as we got done with the conversation, I called Debbie Bono, our manager, and was just like, you're not going to believe what just happened.
Yeah, what do you have, like, rewrote, like, House of the Rising Sun? Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like, how is that?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't.
Ridiculous.
You know, that's the thing. It's like these labels, they sign you at the time when they were asking for 7 record deals. Then they sign you, and then they just want to control you, but they're not even musicians or creative in any way. They're just executive record people, you know. They
yeah.
listen to the music, you know, but they're not writing music. And you know, when they inject their opinion, it's just like, I really don't want to hear it. That's why none of our records are on the same label.
Well, the thing is, like, I feel like us fans, the reason why we love new releases, because back in the day, you know, you have like Neat Records, who pretty much ruined most of the new wave of British heavy metal bands.
Uh-huh.
And even all the labels in the Bay Area, some of them like really didn't give any of these bands leeway. So nowadays, I feel like bands have more creative expression.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well, so. Metal Blade is like, you know, Heidi, she takes care of us over there. She manages our account with Metal Blade, and you know, she's a big Violence fan. But not once did I hear anything about the lyrics, or they accept who we are, and you know,
so, amazing, yeah. Amazing to hear. Now we were talking, you know, celebrating Eternal Nightmare. Have you ever thought about re-recording any of the previous records, or maybe even putting out a live album of like an album in full?
Probably like not. Tonight? I mean, I don't know, live album, you know, I mean, we did that Eternal Nightmare that came out under Megaforce. That does have live from Slim's You know, it's got a little mixed over it, but my vocals are live. You know, like some of the clean, they cleaned up some of the guitar and whatnot, but the vocals are live, and you know, that's probably going to be about the extent, because I just want to create and write. And, you know, I don't want to go back and redo stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Now the band has, of the past couple months, had a lineup change, and you're saying things are going very smoothly.
Yeah, I mean, Mario, he's, you know, Salcido, he plays in Fueled by Fire, but he's a great guitar player. And,
excellent band, you know, too.
Yeah, and he does both leads, and I mean, it's, he's doing everything, and he's really performing well. Great. I mean, we just played with Voltimos in Athens, Greece, and those guys were like, man, your musicians are really good. I go, dude, they're from L.A. L.A.'s full of good musicians right now.
For sure.
It's funny, because the Bay Area, you know, was the thrash scene back in the day, but now it's L.A. It's unbeatable. I mean, I love playing the Bay Area. It's my our hometown, you know, and that's great, but a lot of the young bands, there's no venues for them. There's no real place to for them to, you know, play. And like we had the Stone, the Omni, and on Broadway, Mabuhay Gardens,
Ruthie's Inn,
all of that. But you know, those young guys are kind of restricted to these small bar clubs. Where LA, you go down there and it's just like, you know, we played the 1720. I think that's like 1200 cap, and it sold out. But it's like they're intense about metal down there. We even sold out the Whiskey. And we're not even that kind of band that would play the Whiskey, because our fans, you know, they don't want to spend $15 on a drink and all that, but they showed up and sold it out, you know.
That's awesome, man. And it's so cool how we're in like a fourth wave of the genre currently. And there's people, you know, I'm 25 and I know people who are 18 doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And they're opening for amazing bands.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to like this current wave of thrash metal?
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's Municipal Waste. You know, they're out there doing it. Geez, there's a bunch of bands, but I don't really listen to metal myself, because as much as I like metal, I just feel like if you listen to it and you're writing, you can be, you know, subconsciously copying something that you listen to without even meaning to. But
yeah.
You know, I do listen to the old stuff, but yeah, all these young metal bands, Skeletal Remains, you know, Fueled by Fire, you know, Municipal Waste, all these young guys are coming out and really carrying that thrash metal, the
excellent
look and everything,
yeah.
You know, for, with the high tops and stuff.
Yeah. There's an amazing scene in Houston as well. It's amazing, man.
Awesome.
It's so cool. Now, back to, we have this new lineup. So what was your reaction to Phil's exit? And are you on good terms with him?
I'm on good terms with him. Cool. I just, you know, a lot of the shows, people don't realize we played without Phil.
Yeah.
It was just that South America. You know, he played with us at the LA show and a couple other shows. But most of the festivals and stuff we did, he wasn't with us. So,
yeah.
But, so it's like he's doing his thing. You know, that's up to him. It's his business. I'm not going to, it doesn't create animosity between us. You know, I'm proud of him. He's got a great slot, you know.
Violence seems as healthy as they've ever been.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, I'm out there. What's funny is when we play live, people come up to me later and go, man, you sound just like the record. How is that even possible, dude? You know, I'm 59. It's like, so a lot of the old, you know, bands come back and they don't sound like they did.
The singer,
especially, you know, and so I try to keep it real, you know, to the records. And
yeah, you're not Motley Crue up there, you know.
No, hell no. I know all the words still.
So how long you were talking about new music? How long have you guys been thinking about like a new EP or record?
For a while. I mean, because now that Phil's like gone, which congratulations to Phil. Me and Christian, like I said, we're going to get together, and Phil, you know, Christian reaches out to Phil. He'll contribute.
Cool.
You know, yeah.
So well, that's really awesome to hear.
We'll
you guys
see
are
how
still
it goes.
Talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the future of Violence look like?
Well, we're going to do this tour. We got Body Count May 22nd at the House of Blues in downtown Disney. We've got the Mystic Festival, Into the Grave Festival, and Vakken. And then we might be doing something a little later in the year, around October. It hasn't been announced yet, but that's something we're working on. And so now it's just a matter of writing. You know, I told our manager I need to take time so that Christian and I can sit down and start writing music and not think about shows and, you know, practicing for shows or anything like that. So
Excellent. Well, yeah. Sean, thank you so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
Really
thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm Brandon Baddick, and this is Disturbing the Priest.